All right, folks, we're live.
Good morning. Welcome to Faith Lutheran Church as we gather across this country and across this globe to worship the one who unites us in his love, Jesus Christ. And so that you might be fully present with us to worship, we invite you to click on the link above the video that you're watching. There you'll find the words to the prayers and the music that we share together this morning. And having found those words, I invite you to join me as we sing our opening hymn.
Oh,
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Then let us remember that in the waters of baptism, we are united with Christ, so that united in a baptism like his, we might be united in a resurrection like his. And so I invite you in this moment to take water in your home, in a cup or in a bowl, and hold it, as together we attach the word of God's promise to that water, making it holy and remembrance of the goodness that God gives us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. And when we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side. And on this day, you shower us again with the waters of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, and for all water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy the thirst and give us the life only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Now I invite you to bless yourself and anyone who may be with you with the remembrance of God's love in baptism. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Then let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children, and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We hear now a message for the young at heart from Coulter.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'm on a mission to make pancakes.
First, we stir together the dry ingredients. Next, we mix the wet ingredients. And then we combine the wet ingredients with the dry ingredients. And then we stir. Next, we add butter to the pan, and then we turn on the burner to heat up the pan. Once the pan is hot, then we add the batter. Now it's time to flip the pancakes. When I flip the pancakes, should I try using my hand? Ouch, it's really hot. I don't think that's going to work. I could use some help. I wonder if this spatula will help. Wow, that was so much easier. I'm glad I had that spatula to help. In the Bible today, Jesus is talking to his friends. He asks his friends to go and do his work in the world and to share his love with everyone. It's kind of like how my mission this morning was to make pancakes. But Jesus knows that the disciples will need help, so Jesus sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with the disciples so that Jesus can be with them all the time. It's kind of like how I needed a spatula to help me on my mission this morning of making pancakes.
The Holy Spirit is always with us, and it reminds us of God's love and helps us to love others. And the Holy Spirit was sent to us from God through Jesus.
When we feel the Holy Spirit with us, and when we share Jesus' love with other people, that's something that's really good. Just like these pancakes. Let's see how they taste. Mmm, they sure are delicious.
Okay, now it's time to pray. And to pray, repeat after me. Dear God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love others. Amen.
Hear now the readings from Scripture.
Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Word of God, word of life.
Blessings to you all. Psalm 66. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows, those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue. If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me and attended to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter.
Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good?
But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated.
But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you.
Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame.
For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil.
For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit.
In which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison,
who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water.
And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
who had gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and the powers made subject to him.
Word of God, word of light.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Seated. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Imagine you are Paul in Athens. The sun is shining and scorching hot on your face, and yet you climb up a rocky hill so that you can get a perfect view of the Parthenon, that glorious temple dedicated to Athena, the goddess of wisdom. The sun gleams off its marble columns, built as tribute from cities across the sea. And as you look around the city, you hear in the accents of the crowds around you A truth that people still from all the nations of the world have come to Athens as pilgrims. But they come no longer to give homage to the military might that ended centuries ago. Instead, they come to wonder at Athens' culture. For it is in this city that Aeschylus wrote the world's first play. It is in this city that Socrates and Plato and Aristotle debated philosophy. It is in this city where first was tried that failed experiment called democracy. It is the language of this city that is spoken by educated people everywhere from Persia to Rome, including yourself. For whether this city has conquered or been conquered, it has captivated the world with its culture for 1,000 years and will captivate the world for 2,000 more. And yet, as you stand and soak in the history and the majesty of this city, you feel a weight growing deep in your bowels, an uneasiness as you realize that your purpose here is to tell the citizens of Athens that their culture has been a mistake. You're here to tell them that all these beautiful shrines and temples in which they claim their gods dwell are like shadow puppets on a cave wall, pretending to represent God. They are beautiful, but at best, they are meaningless, and at worst, they are outright lies. How do you tell a people that centuries worth of writings of their poets and philosophers have been wasted? And yet, as you ponder how to break the news to these Athenians, you realize that there is a feeling even deeper than the fear of how they'll take your message. There's a feeling deeper in your soul, but perhaps higher in your chest, because this feeling is closer to your heart. It is a sad sympathy, because you yourself know what it is to have wasted years in pursuit of a future that will never be. You see, you were supposed to be an upstanding member of society. You were supposed to be the father of a large family, a pious pillar in your synagogue. You were supposed to be a wealthy merchant selling the tents your father made to Roman generals whose armies were always marching past your home city of Tarsus. And so you prepared your whole life for this future. You were circumcised on the 8th day, a Pharisee of Pharisees. You were sent to Jerusalem to study the Torah under Rabbi Gamaliel, the greatest rabbi of a generation. You did all that just to earn your place of status within your own tribe, but to sell to the Gentiles, you did so much more. You learned to memorize their plays and to recite their poetry. You learned to write Greek letters and argue Roman law, and you were good at it. Your Jewish friends, they would shield their eyes when they passed a pagan festival, but not you. No, you learned to sell the Greeks your father's goods. You did all this. And then Jesus showed up. Oh, and then one day As you and now, you are disowned from your father's business. Your engagement has been called off. You have been run out of those very synagogues that you sought to protect. And the only coins you have to your names are the ones that you earned by remembering how to work with your hands the tent-making techniques your father taught you. And as you think all this to yourself, you suddenly realize maybe it sounds a lot like complaining. And so you take a moment to offer a prayer of thanks, to tell God you are grateful for everything you have, because the honest truth is you are. For all that you have lost, you are happier in this moment than you have ever been. And also, you have learned that Jesus has a habit of showing up and blinding you, so you better stay on his good side. And yet, you think to yourself, if this is to be the future for which you were destined, to be a traveling preacher for Jesus, it feels like all that stressing and preparing for that other future, was it all a waste? Just like when you tell these people of Athens that truly the God that created heaven and earth is revealed in Jesus, will you be telling them that all the statues, all the temples, all the epics that their ancestors wrote, were those also a waste? And as you ponder this, you look away from the Parthenon and you look past the temple to Ares, the god of war, on the hill where you stand, and you see another shrine. A small one. This one's not carved out of marble and not decorated with lavish gifts. This one is simple stone, and it has a simple inscription: to an unknown God. And you wonder, here in this city so full of statues, so full of worldly people who think they know the answers to heaven and earth, there is an altar to a God that the Greeks know they don't yet know. And you wonder, could it be that this whole time the Athenians have truly been worshiping God and just not known his name? And so you think back to the training in Torah that you learned from Rabbi Gamaliel, and you think to yourself, God created all people. All people, even these Greeks, they share my common ancestor of Adam and Eve. And you think to yourself, and you remember that in the Holy Scriptures, it speaks of prophets from distant lands, men like Melchizedek and Balaam, men who are not Hebrew, men who are not descendants of Abraham, but yet men who speak the word of the God of Israel. And you think to yourself, if God could speak through these men, could it be that God is also speaking through the Greeks? Could it be that somehow God has guided the works of poets and artists through the generations, pointing them through the centuries towards the one spiritual truth, even as they have carved for themselves earthly idols of silver and gold? And so you begin to think. You dig back into that Greek that you memorized as a child. You remember that Plato, here in this city with a multitude of gods, taught that all the many things of this world must come from a single divine source. And you remember the myth of Orpheus, that tragic musician who went to the underworld to bring back from the dead his love and nearly did so, but at the last minute he looked backward instead of forward. And so he lost her forever. And you realize that there has always been in this culture a yearning for the God you know so well. And then it comes to you. the words of Epimenides, who wrote, "They made a tomb for you, O holy and high one, yet you cannot die. For in you we live and move and have our being." And you think to yourself, these words were written 900 years ago by a Greek in Crete. And yet how clearly they point to Jesus, for whom mortals once again made a tomb, and yet he was not dead, but lives. And indeed, did he not say to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed that he abides in them, and they in him? And then springing to your mind comes the words of Aretas, who 3 centuries earlier said, "Let us speak of God, who is on every human's lips. For every street and every market is full of God. Even the sea and the harbor is full of this divinity. Truly everyone everywhere is indebted to this God, for we are all his offspring." And you think to yourself, this Greek pagan is proclaiming words that are not so different from the words of Jesus, who said that each and every one of us are God's children, and who has promised that God will never leave us abandoned, no matter where we are. God will not leave us orphaned. And you think to yourself, God has not left these Greeks orphaned either. Truly, God has been with them this whole time. Their works have not been wasted. God has just been using them for a purpose yet unknown. And you realize the same must be true of your own life, because in that moment, you address the crowds around you. You speak to the Athenians in the Greek which you labored so long to learn as a boy. You tell them not that their culture was a mistake, but their culture is a masterpiece that has been waiting for that final flourish to finally be understood in the fullness of its glory. You speak with words of rhetoric like those drilled to you by your tutor, in ways that would humble even the greatest Athenian politician. You weave together the Hebrew scriptures and the Greek poets, showing that both point to the one creator of heaven and earth, who is revealed in Jesus Christ, who was so committed to ensuring that no child of God would be orphaned, that he was willing to die and descend to the dead, so that even those who had drowned ages ago in Noah's flood might be redeemed and brought home. For you know that your God is not a God who wastes any moment of the life that he creates. Your God simply uses every piece for a purpose yet unknown. And as you speak these words, as you speak these words in Greek, a language which these Athenians have assured will be understood and repeated even to the farthest ends of the known world, you see them turn and begin to comment to one another. And in this moment, you wonder, has this been my life's purpose? Has all that I have done before, preparing to sell my father's goods to these Greeks, been for this? Preparing to sell not for my father on earth, but my father in heaven. Preparing not to offer tents made by human hands, but an eternal home in heaven, paid for by the precious blood of Christ. Have I been brought to this place to found a church here, in the center of the Greek heart, so that from this place the word of God might be sent to all places? You were made for this, and you are ready for it. And yet, even in this moment of assurance, this moment that, yes, you have not labored in vain, you see that the Athenians have stopped listening to you, that they turn away on to seek new novelties. These curious Athenians have gone on back to their business, and it is not Jesus. There will be no church in Athens. Not today. Not founded by you. You will write no letters to the Athenians. So imagine, if you can, in that moment, having imagined yourself a future in the months and years ahead, teaching where Socrates stood, professing a philosophy more profound than any that Plato professed, having a vision for what your future could be, and in that moment, it is all tossed aside. Imagine, if you can, what that might feel like. And then imagine trusting that God has never wasted a moment of your life, but God has simply used it for a purpose yet unknown. For you have seen that God has never wasted a moment of the life that you have had. And imagine then that you go down off that hill, out of the sun and into the shade, ready to go into whatever future God might have next prepared for you. May we have such faith. Amen.
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 I invite you to join me in singing to this God who unites all people of every land and every place.
Streams of abundance flow.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Uplifted by the promise of hope and healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Abiding God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Lord, in your mercy. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way. Please type in your prayers so that we may know their names. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to take hold of our baptismal promises, to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned, in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
People of God, for what else do we pray or give thanks? Please type in your responses. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us, especially those that we type in your prayers. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of peace with the people who might be in your home or to type it into the comments below. That's peace. With our cameras, we've got one working, and we're grateful that you're here. We want to continue to share the hospitality that we strive so hard for in-person worship, even while we're here online. So we ask that if you're watching, if you could please like or comment, it lets us know that you're here, and it lets us reach out to say hi. So please, we encourage you to like or comment so that we know that you are worshiping with us. Also, in this moment, we welcome your offerings. Our ministry here on Sunday morning and out in the world during the week is only possible with your support. And so, if you'd like, you can mail in a check or go onto our website and click the Give button. And as you do so, we also invite you to gather together your offerings of bread and wine or juice, so that in a moment we might break bread together and have revealed to us the truth that Jesus is with us, even in these moments when we feel apart. As we do that, I invite you to receive this musical offering.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity.
Yeah. What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Okay. Well, we don't have a video going at this point, but hopefully you can hear me. And so we'll simplify this next part and just invite you, wherever you are, to look at the people around you, or to look out the window at the beauty of God's creation. And gathering the bread and the wine, let us celebrate communion, trusting that God is with us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Unknown yet revealing God, it is our duty and joy to thank and praise you, because from one ancestor you made all nations to inhabit the earth, and you allotted their times and boundaries so that they would search for you, in whom they live and move and have their being. Where our lives are circumscribed by the limitation of our minds and bodies, your life is beyond our reach and outside our imagining. Yet in your mercy, you embodied all your promises to your people in the sending of your Son, and through his dying and rising, you have brought us to your throne of grace. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels, and all who with your ascended Son sit at your right hand on high, singing the hymn of your unending praise. There are some mysteries we will never know, like why our camera starts working and stops working. But there are some mysteries to which we know the answer. We know that Christ is present in bread and in wine when we share it in his name. And so I invite you to take bread and to take a cup in this moment and join me in proclaiming the presence of Christ as Jesus taught us. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and giving thanks, he blessed it and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering him, therefore, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I invite you to take the bread, and in the presence in your home or in the presence of God's creation, break it and proclaim that Jesus Christ is here with us. And then share that bread with the words, "This is the body of Christ given for you." And share that cup with the words, "This is the blood of Christ shed for you." Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, you have fed us with your word, and our hearts burn within us. Through this meal, you have opened us to your presence. Now send us forth to share the gifts of Easter with all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now culture shares with us the work of God's hands through this congregation.
Celebrate Jesus' ascent into heaven together with Lutheran churches from Orland to Wairika. Lutheran churches in the North State are collaborating to put together a joint online worship service on Thursday, May 21st. You'll be able to watch and comment together with your siblings in Christ on our Facebook page, right where you find our usual Sunday services. And it will feature a hang gliding member of Faith Lutheran. On behalf of the Asylum team, we are excited to announce that through your generosity, we have been able to raise $4,200 for the Asylum Fund. The Asylum team continues to meet and plan and make community connections in preparation for hosting of asylum seekers. Again, thank you very much for your early support of this important work. Faith Lutheran extends a warm thank you to a number of folks. First, a thank you to all who have been continuing grocery deliveries this week. Your work is important and necessary. Folks who have been receiving a delivered copy of our services in the form of a CD got an additional surprise this week when they were also given a beautifully hand-painted rock made by Ethan and Emma, Dave and Molly Barnum's grandchildren. Thank you, Ethan and Emma. Faith would like to thank all of those who have been involved in reaching out via phone or the internet to connect with others. Our phone ministry continues in the form of regular phone calls and in the form of a weekly prayer group that meets by phone. And finally, a big thank you to all of our quilters who have been hard at work making masks. If you need a mask, you can contact Char Miller or contact the church office. Today we want to highlight our kids' call that happens every week at 10:30 on Thursdays. You can talk to me if you would like more information on how to access the call. And we also want to highlight our confirmation class that has continued to meet. We give thanks for these two groups. God's work, our hands.
I invite you to receive a blessing. May the one who brought Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.